In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Crown versus Wales, Manchester Crown Court, 1997.
The killing of Yvonne Macy and her unborn child was an act of unparalleled evil. You and Darren Pierce left a young teacher to bleed to death after subjecting her to the most horrific and unprovoked attack. Billy Wells, the sentence I pass is that you be detained at Her Majesty's pleasure for a minimum of 12 years, and until such a time as the Home Secretary is satisfied that you are fully rehabilitated and no longer a danger.
Oh, please.
Billy's just a boy.
No! Oh,
please! Present day, London.
Time of death somewhere between 6 and 7. Impact marks on the side of the car. Looks like whoever did this beat her head against it till she was dead.
Nice. Right, thanks, Joy.
Matt ducks under the police tape.
Do we know who she is yet?
Bag's missing. That was in the road.
Right. She's a doctor?
Junior house officer. Alice Cullen, been qualified 6 months.
All those lives she could have saved, eh?
Blonde Alice's body lies in a pool of congealed blood outside the Royal Hampton Hospital. Law, Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks, a dark-haired 50-something with a level stare. Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Devlin, a handsome 30-something with neat red hair. Harriet Walter as the raven-haired DI Natalie Chandler. The refined architecture of the London Law Courts. Order, Ben Daniels as Senior CP James Steele. Freema Aguman as Junior CP Alicia Phillips. Bill Patterson as CPS Director George Castle. Law & Order UK. This episode is called ID. At MIU...
The actual attack happened between the cars, which is why it doesn't show up in the cameras.
No one saw anything? No one heard a scream?
The pathologist reckons it was all over in a couple of minutes.
And Ron? You reckon she knew her attacker?
Her head was bashed in against her own car door until she stopped breathing. Gov, I'd say that was personal.
Anything missing from her handbag?
Uniform found everything, except her keys.
Home of Alice Cullen, Chelsea SW3. Ronnie and Matt search the flat.
So whoever it was uses her key to get in and then leaves all the stuff that would be easiest to shift.
Well, maybe she's got something worth more than money.
Alongside forensics police, Matt, who wears blue plastic gloves, finds a brown envelope and takes something out of it.
Ronnie.
Yeah.
It's a sonogram of a baby in the womb. Matt hands it to Ronnie, who also wears blue gloves. Ronnie frowns.
Looks like it wasn't just Alice that he killed.
Postmortem confirmed Alice was 10 weeks pregnant. Forensics found a couple of dark hairs on her clothes. They've gone for DNA analysis. Any news on prints in her flat?
Two sets all over the place. One confirmed as Alice's. A neighbour reckons she's got a fiancé who stays a couple of nights a week, so we suspect the second set are his.
Yeah, he's here. She's waiting in reception with her parents. They did the formal ID this morning.
Mrs. Cullen, can you think of anything in Alice's flat that someone may have wanted?
Addicts break into doctors' flats, don't they? They're looking for drugs.
Does it matter what he took? There's only one thing we want back. And he can't give it to us.
A young man, Joe, comforts Mr. Cullen.
Did you know that Alice was pregnant?
She called us the second they finished the scan. She couldn't keep it in a moment longer.
Alice was our only child. We'll never be grandparents. Oh, God.
Matt enters the soft interview room and addresses Joe, whose head is bowed.
Mr. Nash, we're ready for you now.
Matt cleans the live scan machine.
We were going to meet in Chinatown to celebrate.
I was going to be a dad.
You don't know, mate.
He holds Joe's hand over the machine.
Do we have to do this now?
I'm sorry.
What do you need mine for?
It's just so that we can sort the prints that should be in your fiancé's flat from those that shouldn't. Joe seems like a nice lad.
They've been inseparable since Joe started at the hospital.
He's a doctor?
No, he's a hospital porter.
But he's a nice lad.
It's her last boyfriend you should be asking about, not Joe.
And why is that?
On a squash court with tall 40-ish Gareth.
So Alice had 6 visits to casualty in the last 2 years.
Matt takes a shot which Ronnie catches.
Last time, cracked rib, fractured cheekbone.
We broke up 2 years ago.
Or maybe you had some unfinished business.
Is that why you shot down to London the minute she announced her engagement in the Times?
We opened an office in the city.
So what are you then? Merchant banker?
Investment banker.
And did you know Alice was living in London?
Well, her parents made sure no one in Edinburgh knew where they'd gone.
Right, so you did try to find her?
I asked around, but I got over it. I moved on.
You're in a relationship then?
Several.
It didn't bother you that Alice was getting engaged?
I didn't lose any sleep over it.
Oh, come on, she was your favourite possession, and she dumped you. And now she ended up with some bloke down here, having his kid. Yeah, her mum reckoned it was all she'd ever wanted. Her own little family.
Gareth looks shocked.
Well, it wouldn't have lasted. She'd have gone running home to Daddy the minute she didn't get her own way.
And what, you went after her? You know, to tell her she was making a mistake?
Is that what you did? Way outside the hospital? Follow her into the car park?
No.
And when she wouldn't talk to you, you tried to make her listen?
I had a problem, but I changed.
Was that what you tried to show her in the car park, how much you'd changed?
Look, I've had 5K's worth of anger management.
You've been done, mate.
I didn't do this.
Well, then you won't mind us asking where you were on Sunday night between the hours of 6 and 7 p.m, will you?
Showing my PA. Who's boss?
At a cafe.
His PA has confirmed that they were at it for the best part of 2 hours.
I'm in the wrong job.
Would she be covering for him?
No, because the security guard puts them both in his office at the same time Alice was killed.
What about her fiancé? Has he got a record?
Nicking cars when he was a kid. Nothing since.
Get Manchester to send his file anyway. Has he got an alibi?
Claims he was in Chinatown.
No? Thank you.
In Chinatown.
So no one remembers Joe Nash?
Well, that's because he was never here. So why don't we chase up his phone records, find out where he really was? Right, well, Joe Nash made 3 phone calls on Sunday night. None of those calls was to Alice Cullen, and none of them were from Chinatown.
So who did he call?
He called Daniela Renzo, psychiatric social worker.
Right, so where are you going?
Well, these 3 calls put Joe at the murder scene half an hour before the killing, near Alice Cullen's flat at the time of the break-in, and finally up here at Daniela Renzo's gaff just in time for bed.
So he's having an affair.
Let's put it to the test. Let's see how this grieving fiancé fancies appearing on the 10 o'clock news.
At the Royal Hampton Hospital, Ronnie and Matt are by a service lift with Joe.
Appeal.
Public see the heartache, they're more likely to come forward.
Wouldn't a mum and dad be better? We think it would be more emotional coming from you.
It wouldn't be any good.
Don't you want to help us catch whoever did this?
Of course I do, but all those people watching. I wouldn't know what to say, I'm sorry. You'll have to ask someone else.
He shuts the lift door at the home of Daniela Renzo.
Joe's a client. Nothing more.
Right, so he has psychiatric issues.
Joe suffered a severe childhood trauma. He still has nightmares, depression.
What was his relationship like with his fiancée?
You know I can't go into those sort of details. It's a little thing called client confidentiality.
Well, we're investigating a little thing called murder. Your client's fiancée was beaten to death in a car park on Sunday night.
You didn't know?
God. Poor Joe. He must be devastated. Oh, you know he was here. Sunday night.
You see clients at home?
Sometimes. Joe didn't want Alice to know about our appointments, and it was easier to keep them quiet if he came to me.
Why would he want to keep them quiet?
I've been helping Joe for 6 years. He's known Alice for 2. He just wasn't ready to share that part of himself with her.
But they were getting married.
And married men don't have secrets. The truth is, I think he was hoping he could get to a place where he didn't need to tell her.
And what time did he arrive?
6. He called first. It was about 5:30. He left about 8.
But then if he was here, why would he need to call you twice after he left?
He left his jacket. I was in the bath the first time he called. Look, I can vouch for Joe. He was here with me.
She was my social worker. I'd be calling her 3 times a night and all.
And she gave him an alibi without us even asking.
Yes, it's a shame that it wasn't the same alibi that he gave us.
So he says he's in Chinatown, nibbling prawn crackers, when actually he was nibbling something else.
I was ashamed.
Of needing a social worker?
Of needing a psychiatric social worker. Of a sleep disorder.
Lucid dreaming?
It was Danny's idea, so I could learn to control my nightmares.
Kill the monster that's chasing you.
I'll turn it into a mouse.
So you didn't meet Alice for dinner at all? You were with Danny?
After my appointment with Danny, I went to the restaurant, but it was too late. I went to Alice's flat and she weren't there. So I came home.
And then went all the way back to Danny's to collect your jacket?
Yeah. My wallet was in the pocket.
So how were you going to pay for your Chinese?
I didn't realise it was missing until I got to the restaurant. It's the sleep deprivation. It makes me confused sometimes. Look, I know you've got to ask these questions. But he's still out there, innit? Whoever did this to Alice. I just want you to find him.
Not enough to do an appeal. Did you notice the way he dressed?
Yeah.
Smart shoes, no laces, jeans, no belt.
Right.
What about his bed? Hospital corners, a blanket folded in a neat square on the end of it.
I know where you're going with this, Ron. Look, he spent 3 months inside for nicking cars. He's not going to get institutionalised after 3 months.
No, but what
do you mean? But he did have psych issues. So maybe he learnt that stuff in a psych ward, not in a prison.
No, he's an ex-con, mate. I can smell it a mile off.
Matt's on the phone at MIU Central HQ.
Okay, cheers. Well, if Joe Nash was ever a psychiatric inpatient, it wasn't in the UK.
Maybe he was in a military prison.
Or maybe he's just a neat freak. Daniela's landlord lives above her. Got his number here somewhere. He might remember if Joe was there that night.
This is weird.
What's that?
Well, according to this file from Manchester, when Joe Nash got nicked for talking, the arresting officer was Detective Sergeant Marvin Douglas.
So?
Well, Marvin Douglas was transferred back to London from Manchester 6 months before.
How do you know that?
Because Marvin Douglas was an usher at my second wedding, which took place a month after he got back. Look at this.
He shows Matt the file.
Well, it could be a clerical error. Someone just bunged down the wrong name.
That is Marvin's signature. He couldn't have signed it 6 months after he left, could he?
On the street with Natalie.
Why would anyone tamper with the archive?
Well, you've got to admit, it is a bit suspect.
I'll tell you what's suspect is a loving fiancé lying about where he was and refusing to take part in an appeal.
I've just been talking to Daniela Renzo's landlord. He says he took in a parcel for her on the day of the murder, tried to deliver it 3 or 4 times, only she was out all evening.
So she wasn't in her flat having a session with Joe Nash at all?
Bring them both in. She's either covering for him or they're both in it together.
At the Central HQ on Bow Street, Daniela arrives with her lawyer and heads along the corridor. Coming in the other direction, Joe is with Ronnie and Matt. He spots Daniela and stops surprised. Daniela smiles warmly. Joe looks nervous and heads into an interview room. Daniela's smile fades as she enters a separate room. Alicia watches 2 monitors showing both of the interviews.
Hello.
Joe, you need to start telling us the truth, son.
All right. I wasn't entirely honest with you before. Because I lied because I knew what you'd think. Me and Alice, we were going to meet at the restaurant. But we had a fight at work. And I got upset. So I rang Danny and she didn't answer. I left a message, you can ask her.
So you never went to Danny's flat?
Well, not until much later. I went round about 10:30. I called her from outside, but she said she was going to bed. She never let me in.
And what did you and Alice argue about?
Just some stupid fight.
And was it about Danny?
No.
But you fancied her though, didn't you? I mean, she's a classy looking bird. Who wouldn't? It's only natural.
I've got Alice. I had Alice.
And yet here we are trying to find out who killed her, and you're not telling us everything.
What did you argue about, Joe?
Were you and Daniela sleeping together? Did Alice find out?
Can we stop this, please?
I mean, did the fight get physical? I mean, you hit her, and she falls, you get angry. Listen, Joe, we understand how these things happen, yeah?
No, that's not me. I don't do that.
All right, OK, so then what did happen? I mean, look, mate, if you don't tell us, then you can't really blame us for trying to fill in the blanks now, can you?
I need some sleep. Can we stop?
Joe, what did you argue about?
Please don't do this.
What was it?
Head bowed, Joe sobs onto his hands.
A diary.
Your diary?
I thought she'd understand. She said she was going to bring it with her. She said it was in a bag. She said, I disgusted her. She walked away from me.
So you followed her into the car park, didn't you? Joe, and you grabbed her while she was getting into the car. Is that what happened?
Unshaven and bleary-eyed, Joe looks up.
I never meant to.
What did you do to her, Joe?
She was on the ground. She was so scared.
Go on.
She was always picking on me.
And so you killed her?
Someone had blood on my shoes.
Shoot. For the tape, then, please, Joe.
Yeah. I never meant to. I should have stopped him. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's all right, Joe.
As Joe collapses into sobs, Matt nods at Ronnie. In the other interview room, Daniela looks up at a flickering overhead light.
You're more than just his social worker, aren't you?
She eyes Natalie levelly.
You have got no idea what you're asking.
Joe Nash, I'm arresting you for the murder of Alice Cullen. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention, when questioned, something you later rely on in court.
Joe, would you like a brief now?
You don't.
Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
I'm not even Cullen. I'm not Joe Nash. They gave me the name Joe Nash and this prehistory thing, and then moved me down here. I've got a new passport and a national insurance number. The Home Office arranged it.
I was assigned to help Joe manage his new identity.
Natalie's surprised.
He's in witness protection.
Daniela shakes her head.
He's on life license.
Natalie's shocked.
15 years ago, when we were 11, me and my mate, Darren Pierce, we killed our teacher. Yvonne Mason. We were released 6 years ago on a life license. I'm not Joe Nash. I'm Billy Wells.
Ronnie and Matt share a stunned glance. It's at the Director of Public Prosecutions, Old Bailey.
Joe Nash spent 3 months in the same YOI as Billy Wells. They shared a cell.
But why would he claim to be Billy Wells if he's not?
Nash has a long history of psychiatric illness. He's suffering from delusional disorder.
I was there when he was interviewed. The police surgeon found him fit for questioning.
I'm told those who suffer from delusional disorder appear as normal as you or me.
You're 100% certain that he isn't Billy Wells?
Yes, I am. I've seen pictures taken of Billy Wells 3 weeks ago. He has a wife and a child and a Rhodesian Ridgeback. Even though I can tell you categorically that Joe Nash is not Billy Wells. Any hint of his claims in the media and the public will be crying conspiracy theory.
Mm. We'll be looking at a mistrial or grounds for appeal.
The Home Secretary is also most concerned about this matter being aired in public. The Home Office is already under considerable pressure for a public referendum on the death penalty. There simply cannot be a trial.
Is there any need for one? He's confessed. Presumably he's pleading guilty.
Offer Nash a deal. He pleads manslaughter, diminished responsibility, and gets a hospital order.
He could be out of a secure hospital in a few months.
We'll make sure he needs Ministry of Justice approval for any future release.
Okay. I'll put it to his brief.
It's an honor to meet you like this, Mr. Steele. You did a talk at my uni, law claims against the state. Oh. Very inspiring. You know, I love that George Eliot quote you started your lecture with. Falsehood is easy, truth so difficult. Of course, he was on the right side back then. It was watching him in action that made me choose defense.
Well, you can get my autograph later. Look, Eli, I'll come straight to the point. In light of your client's mental health issues, the Crown's prepared to accept a plea to manslaughter diminished responsibility.
You're serious? Mm-hmm. You're a good man, Mrs. Steele.
He's in a generous mood. I'd say yes quickly before he changes his mind.
I only got this case this morning, but I'm sure my client won't be turning his nose up on the offer this good.
So we got a deal.
Deal.
They shake hands at the plea and case management hearing.
You are charged with manslaughter, contrary to common law. The particulars of the offence are that you, Joseph Nash, unlawfully killed Alice Elizabeth Cullen. To this charge, how do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
The defence team and the prosecutors look up in surprise. James frowns. In the dark and nervous-looking Joe's eyes rove. Eli looks as shocked as everyone else. Two civil servants slip out of the courtroom. In the austere-looking lawyer's locker room, James confronts Eli.
I thought we had a deal.
I know.
So what the hell just happened in there? Did you plan this?
No, I swear, I had no idea he was going to do that.
He confessed, for God's sake. How can he plead not guilty?
I don't know. He's your client. How can you not know?
How the hell did this happen? I thought the deal was done and dusted.
Believe me, George, so did I. Eli gave me his word.
DPP will have a hand in.
Especially when she hears about this. It seems Eli's had a sudden change of heart.
He's got to be joking.
It's no joke. Eli's claiming Nash was coerced into confessing.
With Joe and Eli at Ashbridge Prison.
Take the deal. You put this to a jury, that confession will send you to prison for life.
I don't deserve to be in prison. I'm innocent.
First, you claim to be Billy Wells, and you admit to killing Alice. Now you're saying you're not Billy Wells, you're Joe Nash, and you didn't kill Alice.
He was confused when he made those claims. You know, he was also frightened out of his wits by two heavy-handed coppers, determined to hear what they wanted to hear.
I don't think you've got any idea what'll happen if a jury hears the name Billy Wells.
Whether he calls himself Billy Wells or Joe Nash, the truth is he didn't kill Alice Cullen. Now, I can't allow an innocent man to be locked up in a secure hospital for God knows how long. I suggest you look at those confession tapes again, Mr. Steele, because those coppers took too much for granted. Joe never actually said he killed Alice.
James and Alicia watch the interview tape.
So you killed her?
Yep. I saw those blood. I couldn't get it off the machines.
Okay, for the tape, then, please, Joe.
Yeah. I never meant to. I should have stopped her. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Eli's wrong. Joe admits killing Alice.
Does he?
Alicia looks at the screen where James has paused the tape. James frowns and leafs through the transcript of the interview. He finds a particular section and reads it.
She was always picking on me. Darren didn't like it. I wanted her to stop, but not like that. She was on the ground. She was so scared. There was so much blood. I couldn't get it off my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
James gawps.
This is Billy Wells' confession from 1997. Joe Nash isn't confessing to killing Alice Cullen. He's talking about the murder of Yvonne Macy.
Joe did share a cell with Billy.
Yeah, but he didn't just tell the story, Alicia. He's using exactly the same words.
You think he could really be Billy Wells?
Day turns to night. Alicia and James remain at James's desk, going through paper files and files on the computer. There's a picture of Billy as an 11-year-old on screen. Alicia holds a photo of Joe.
Look at the shape of the eyes, the way his mouth curls down at the corners.
You look at pictures of my best mate as a kid, it could be me. You're seeing what you want to see, James.
They're both the same age, they're both from Manchester. Joe Nash moved to London within 3 weeks of Billy Wells' release under a secret identity.
I don't know.
Joe Nash's juvenile record has more holes than a sieve. The Home Secretary wants his kept out of court.
And they've had you down as a conspiracy theorist, James.
There's just too many coincidences here. I want to be right, Alicia.
Okay, let's just say you are right. It doesn't change what he's done.
Okay, if he's Joe Nash, then he's mentally ill and he should be in hospital. But if he really is Billy Wells, and he's got form, we need to charge him accordingly. We can adduce bad character evidence and make sure he stays locked up in prison for the rest of his life without parole.
He looks at the computer screen, then back at Alicia.
I just want to know one way or the other.
His prints came back from Nafis as belonging to Joe Nash.
Did you ask Nafis to double-check them against Billy Wells' prints?
If those prints matched Billy Wells, the commissioner would be around here like a shot.
Joe talked about a diary in his confession. It's not in evidence.
No. It was never found. For all we know, Nash destroyed it.
You've got Joe's DNA on file. Can you check it against Billy Wells' DNA?
15 years ago, DNA profiles weren't saved digitally.
Yeah, I know, but they must exist somewhere.
I looked at Billy Wells' file as soon as Joe Nash made his claim, and there is no DNA profile.
You don't think that's suspicious?
At the Dangerous Offenders Unit in Westminster SW1,
we can't disclose those kind of details.
These are special circumstances. We're talking about a psychiatric social worker specifically allocated to Billy Wells on his release.
Offenders like Billy Wells get new identities for their own protection. If we handed out the sort of information you're asking for, we'd be putting the offender and the social worker at risk.
We know he was working with Daniela Renzo. Surely you can just confirm that?
I'm sorry. Unless you get authority from the Home Secretary, it remains confidential.
Fine, we'll talk to the Home Secretary then.
And he'll come back to me for advice. And I'll say no.
The clerk gets up and leaves the room.
We're going round in circles with this.
You told the police you were assigned to help Billy Wells adjust to his new identity, but no one seems to have any record of it.
You'll need a signed letter from Joe giving full consent before I disclose anything.
You talked to the police about it?
You know, that's different. Anyway, that was before I talked to Joe's barrister. I'm a witness for the defence. You can ask me whatever you like in court.
At the CPS.
Joe Nash has been moved to the vulnerable prisoners wing. He was attacked yesterday.
Is he all right?
A few cuts and bruises. Apparently some new prisoner just went for him in the dinner queue.
Do we know why?
They reckon he saw Nash and just went crazy. You think he recognised him?
That's why I need to speak to Joe Nash right now.
They're with Joe at Ashbridge Prison.
You're Billy Wells, aren't you?
Looking down, Joe shakes his head.
Alice died in a car park outside her work, just like Yvonne Macy. Both were pregnant.
That was my kid.
Both died from repeated blows to the head.
I'd never hurt Alice. I loved her.
She was on the ground. She was so scared. There was so much blood. I couldn't get it off my shoes. Who are you talking about, Joe? Who was on the ground bleeding? Was it Alice or was it Yvonne?
I'm not the monster that killed Yvonne Mason.
They both died in the same way, Joe.
No, it's different. What those boys did to that teacher was sick.
No, no, no. It is no different. Yvonne Macy was left bleeding to death in a car park, her head beaten over and over.
Yeah, with a knicker shoved in her mouth. You think I could do something sick like that? I am not Billy Wells. You hear me? I'm not Billy Wells. Get me out of here. I want to go back to myself. Get me out!
There are certain details defence and prosecution agreed to keep out of court to save the husband's feelings.
But surely all the details of the offence were relevant to the trial.
There were things those kids did that the press would have made a meal of. Painting them as would-be rapists wouldn't have helped anybody.
Just look at the Billy Wells file and answer me one question. Was Yvonne Macy found with her underwear in her mouth?
In the corridor outside her office, Natalie turns.
I don't need to look. I know.
It's true.
It was never reported. It's not in the court transcript. The only way Joe Nash could know that sort of detail is if he was there when Yvonne Macy was murdered. Joe Nash is Billy Wells.
Natalie stares, grim-faced.
The game's changed, George. Now we know Joe Nash is Billy Wells. He needs to be charged accordingly.
What difference does it make what his name is?
He's done this before. Why should he get the soft option?
You would never have got out of that hospital, and you know it.
And no one would ever be any the wiser.
Is that so, Ro?
You don't think the public have a right to know the truth?
And what do you think would happen then?
I'm nobody's lapdog. I'm not going to cover this up just so the Home Secretary saves face.
You really think that's all this is about?
Isn't it?
George stands.
If this gets out, the whole criminal justice system comes under fire. No child convicted at Her Majesty's pleasure will ever get the chance of release again.
This is about one case.
No, it's not, James, it's not. 67% of the public want to bring back the death penalty. There are MPs lobbying for that right now. This is the ammunition they need.
We can't be governed by fear of political fallout. It's not up to us to decide his fate. It's up to a jury.
Assuming Billy Wells gets a jury trial.
There's no risk of jury tampering here.
There's a risk of trial by tabloid. Do you really think that we could find 12 good men and true who could try Billy Wells without prejudice? This is exactly the kind of case that could push the legislation into frightening territory. Could even spell the end of jury trials altogether.
You're asking me to be part of a cover-up.
Sometimes the truth causes more harm than good. Talk to Eli Smart again. Maybe in light of this new information, you can persuade him to take the plea. Oh, and James, do it before the DPP finds out what you've been up to. Otherwise, you could find yourself back in defense.
In a conference room with Eli.
You expect me to believe you didn't know?
Look, I swear, I thought it was Looney Tunes.
And now you know the truth?
It changes nothing. I was hired to defend Joe Nash, and that's what I'm doing, regardless of who he used to be.
This comes out, there is no way that he'll get a fair trial. It's in everyone's best interest to keep this out of court.
Eli looks flustered. He puts a finger to his lips.
All right. I'll book a visit.
In James's office.
Don't ask me how I got this.
Natalie gives him a file. James reads the front cover and smiles.
Billy Wells' prison records.
I flagged up the last section.
She loiters in the doorway.
It records identifying marks.
At Ashbridge Prison.
Billy Wells has got a 3-inch scar on his left arm from a suicide attempt.
I'm not Billy Wells.
Pull up your sleeve.
Alongside an anxious-looking Eli, Joe stares nervously at James across the table.
Pull up your sleeve.
Eli glances at Joe, then looks down as Joe, who has his left arm on the table, reaches down and pulls up the sleeve of his top, revealing a long, deep scar running along his forearm just beneath the elbow.
I never tried to top myself. I wouldn't do that.
He pulls his sleeve down, covering the scar.
Two lads held me down. Cut me vein with a shiv and left me for dead. Everyone knew who I was. I used to leave nooses hanging in my cell. And when I didn't get the message, they'd try to do it themselves. When I walked out of those gates, I vowed I'd never do anything to take me back there.
He looks rueful and puts his hand up to his head, closing his eyes. James watches with a frown as Joe drops his hand.
Yes. I'm Billy Wells.
Tears well up in his eyes.
But I've done my time. And I never killed Alice.
He collapses into sobs. James looks down briefly.
Who killed her?
Maybe it was one of those lads. Or maybe someone found out who I was and tried to frame it.
He puts his hand on his head again and sobs.
The DNA evidence is going to prove your guilt. Just take the deal while you still can. Or you'll stay in prison for the rest of your life.
I'm drowning in here. Don't you think I'd take the deal if I could?
Billy, you do realize this is your last chance to change your plea.
Find my diary. Read what prison did to me. Then if you still think I killed Alice, I'll see you in court, Mr. Steele.
James and Alicia exit a lift at the CPS.
Someone's got to have it.
They searched Alice's flat and Joe's bedsit.
You don't think it's gone the same way as Billy Wells' DNA?
Well, Ronnie and Matt supervised the search. If they found it, it would be in evidence.
Would the diary have exposed Joe Nash's Billy Wells?
Yeah, according to Eli, it had every detail of coming to terms with his crime. Anyone who read it would know that he was Billy Wells.
Ronnie and Matt search through Daniela's house in Highbury.
Why are you doing this? I don't understand. If you tell me what it is you're looking for, I can help.
Ronnie looks under the sofa cushions in the living room and finds a red diary. He takes it out.
Matt!
Matt comes through from the office and glances dubiously at Daniela. Watching Daniela on a monitor, Alicia goes through the diary at MIU.
This is incredible. It tells us everything we need to know. He gave Alice the diary because he wanted her to know he was Billy Wells.
Which would have threatened his new identity.
In an interview room.
Joe turned up in a right state. He said he'd had a fight with Alice. He gave me her keys and he begged me to get the diary back for him. Look, I'd no idea he'd killed her.
The light flickers overhead. Natalie dons plastic gloves.
I went into the flat and I took the diary. It was stupid, but that's all I did. Charge me with theft, if you like.
You won't mind this, will you?
She holds a mouth swab.
When would I?
Daniela leans forward and opens her mouth wide. Natalie puts the swab against the inside of Daniela's cheek, then carefully places the swab in a plastic cover.
Cross the line. I should never have allowed Joe to manipulate me like that.
Joe was vulnerable. You were the one in the position of trust.
You've no idea what it's like working that intimately with serious offenders.
Natalie goes to the door. James leans against the wall in the corner of the room.
Mark, this is urgent.
Natalie shuts the door. James slowly paces across the room.
We've got a DNA profile from the scene.
Daniela looks at him nervously, gawps, then looks down and nods her head as Natalie sits back down.
I'm not under arrest.
Sit down, Miss Renzo.
I'm free to go.
You're not going anywhere. Sit down.
Natalie fixes Daniela with a glare. Daniela sits back down and smiles ruefully.
It's 20 years I've worked in this job and I've never once got too close.
You never worked with a killer like Billy Wells before?
Billy's no killer. It was Darren Pierce who killed that teacher.
Billy didn't stop him.
Billy watched his dad kick the shit out of his mum every day of his life. He was damaged.
And along you came to fix him.
Yeah, he needed me.
To get rid of anyone that came between you.
Well, nobody came between us. He told me everything, because I was his lifeline.
You didn't read his diary then?
James opens it.
They were his private thoughts. I wouldn't do that.
I don't need Danny anymore. All I need is you, Alice. I told her yesterday I want to stop the appointments.
He puts the open diary on the table.
Joe wrote those words in a message to Alice the day she died.
Daniela shuts the diary.
He wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes without me.
You blamed her for taking him away from you.
You're wrong.
You were waiting for her in the car park.
No.
If those hairs on her body are yours, you're going to be psychoanalyzing your cellmate in Cold Norton for the rest of your life.
Open-mouthed, Daniela glances round furtively.
Okay, I was there, but only to talk to her. They were making a mistake. She didn't love him.
But he loved her. Didn't he? They were getting married and you couldn't stand it.
She couldn't love Billy Wells.
But you could.
She wipes away a tear.
Is that what you went to tell her?
No, I went to get the diary.
But she didn't have it with her.
I begged her to just give it to me, but she wouldn't listen.
So you attacked her?
I grabbed her bag and she fell against the car door. She hit her head. It was an accident.
Alice's head was slammed against that car door over and over. It wasn't an accident, Daniel. Joe didn't ask you to get the diary for him. In fact, he trusted you so implicitly, he never even suspected for one second that you killed the woman he loved.
She said he was a monster.
You're the real monster, aren't you? You killed Alice, didn't you? Didn't you, Daniel?
I just wanted her to shut up! She didn't deserve him.
James straightens and looks down on Daniela.
He used to sit there on my sofa like a lost little boy. And sometimes he sat so close to me, I could smell the soap on his skin. I wanted to hold him. I wanted to tell him everything would be all right.
She looks jittery. James frowns.
I told him. He couldn't marry someone who didn't know who he really was. And he thought I wanted him to tell her.
You knew better than anyone what prison did to Billy. But you were prepared to let him rot in there for the rest of his life just to save your own skin.
I could have worked with him. Made sure he was all right.
Don't you mean control him? Keep him dependent on you? What sort of love is that?
He'd be lost without me. Whatever happened in his life, good or bad, it was me that he came running to.
Did you know Alice was pregnant?
She looks up sharply, shakes her head, and smiles nervously. She purses her lips and frowns.
Maybe he didn't tell you everything after all.
Daniela Renzo, I'm arresting you for the murder of Alice Cullen. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defense if you don't mention or question something which you know to
be. Eli is alone at the bar in the White Horse Pub on Old Street in EC1. James and Alicia arrive.
Billy Wells release papers.
A solemn Eli glances at the papers.
He's a free man.
Eli blinks.
Billy was found hanging in his cell 2 hours ago.
Alicia and James are stunned.
He killed himself.
Eli turns to look at James, then stands with a rueful smirk.
You believe that if it helps you sleep at night?
Eli walks away. James hangs his head, then shares a grave look with Alicia. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. ITFC, audio description,